to give thanks no matter what's going on in our lives. To be grateful. Even in the difficult times, even in the times that are refining us and shaping us into the person that God wants us to be, the hard things we don't understand, the tragic things that we want to ask God about when we get there. And if we'll just give thanks in all circumstances, we will begin to live into God's purpose and plan for our lives. Finding God's will is not as much about what you do as it is about what He's done and your gratitude for it. Where do you need to pause today? Even in the messiness of life, in the imperfection of life, and give thanks. That's one thing you can do to be assured that you're living into God's will. Be thankful. And when we live thankfully, we move on to the path that God would have for us. Gratitude is the gateway to God's will. I love the way Emerson put it. He said this, and I share this quote almost every time I preach, or this time of year on Thanksgiving. Emerson said this. He said, "If the stars came out once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. We've seen the stars so often that we don't bother even to look at them anymore." There's so much truth to that. Let me ask you something. What or who are you taking for granted in your life today? What or who are you taking for granted in your life today? Because it or they are always there. What have you seen so often that you've stopped appreciating it? And gratitude is the gateway to God's will. And gratitude is grounded in God's grace. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus." The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He said, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And when we miss the grace of God, we become ungrateful. We become bitter. We become self-centered people. Just reflecting on the depth of God's love for us. That while we were yet sinners, our sin separating us from the Father, Christ died for us. He died to forgive us, and He died to restore our relationship with the Father. Gratitude is grounded in God's grace. It begins there. And so if you ever feel like you don't deserve God's love, I've got news for you. You don't. But He gives it to you anyway. He gives it to you anyway. And all too often we relate to God as a quid pro quo. That if we do something for Him, then He's obliged to do something for us. And we have these unbiblical expectations that if we're good enough, God will treat us better and bring good things into our lives. You ever think like that? You ever find yourself thinking like that? You know, if I do this and I do that, man, if I'm in church, boy, if I go three times this month, if I give, if I tithe, if I give to this charity, if I do good things, if I begin to treat my wife or my husband a little bit better than I've been doing that, you know, then, man, I'm really, really trying, God. So, man, would you give me this over here? All too often, we treat God in that way, as if He's obliged to do something for us. And yet it's unbiblical. It's not the way God works. We could never do enough to gain His favor. If we could, the cross would be absolutely unnecessary. Think about that. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing I can do. We can't be good enough. We can't get over the bar. We can't meet God's expectations in and of ourselves. Because if we could, Jesus would never have had to come. Jesus would never have had to pay the price and live the perfect life for our sin. Jesus would never have gone to the cross. Gratitude is grounded in the grace of God. It's grounded in the cross of Christ. It's grounded in the understanding that salvation is a gift that none deserve. And that's the foundation of all that we do this week in celebrating Thanksgiving. We celebrate and we give thanks and we give glory to God because of all that He's done for us in Christ Jesus. And our gratitude and our gratefulness in life rises out of that foundation because of all that God has given us, and we were undeserved in receiving it. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 7. Just before Jesus encounters the 10 lepers, just a wonderful story about Thanksgiving. He said something to His disciples here that's easy to miss, but I think it illustrates our point this morning. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 7, Jesus said to His disciples, Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after his sheep. Okay, so this is a different time, first century. You know, folks had servants, had people working for them in that way. He says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. A servant-master relationship here, essentially. He said, would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? And Jesus said, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. It's an interesting passage. It's easy to just read right through that. You know, and honestly, when we look at these words, these are words of Jesus. When we look at these words and He says, yeah, you know, your attitude should be that we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That kind of offends our sensibilities today. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm an unworthy servant? But what Jesus is doing here, Jesus is calling out a sense of entitlement. He's calling out a deserving attitude when it comes to what God owes us. He's essentially saying, hey, servants serve. They don't expect to be served by their master. The problem is, in contemporary Christianity, that oftentimes we think we deserve to be served by the master. If we've been good enough, if we've done this, if we've jumped that through, then God owes us something. But God owes us absolutely nothing. Oh, how many Christians walk away from the faith because God didn't do what they thought He should do for them? That is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. And as recipients of God's grace and God's forgiveness, we're expected to serve and to live our lives for Him. We are the servants. He is the master. We're to be slaves, not to sin any longer, but slaves to righteousness. And we don't do it. We don't serve with the expectation that we'll get something more from God. When we carry that expectation, this expectation that God should in any way serve us because we're deserving, we cease to live thankful lives. Do y'all see what's going on there? That's what Jesus is talking about here. And that's what he prefaces this story about his encounter with these 10 lepers with. But oftentimes we miss this. He's the master. We're the servant. How much more could we ask for him to do for us? And yet we live our lives in that way. In essence, that God owes us because of our behavior, because of our performance, because of something we've done. God owes us nothing. Jesus then moves immediately into the story of the 10 lepers to really illustrate this point. Verse 11, chapter 17, says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." Rather, Luke is sharing this story. "And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance because they were required to, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. He was one who was not accepted by the Jews and the religious people of the day. An outcast, if you will, a half-breed. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 lepers cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" And the implication there, the inference is that he was not only healed externally from his leprosy, but that he was forgiven of his sin and he was healed internally of his sin. 10 call out to Jesus for healing. 10 call out for the impossible. "God, help me. God, save me. I'm in this situation. I need you." Leprosy was a plague in the first century. It was a skin disease that had no cure. Highly contagious. Lepers were separated from society. Those who had it did nothing to get it and would ultimately die because of it. Does that remind you of anything? Leprosy is symbolic of the sin that we all carry. The sin that separates us from God and ultimately causes our death and our separation from God. Jesus healed all 10 of them in His grace. And can you imagine that transformation? The joy of being able to see your family again. They couldn't be around their family any longer. They were separated and quarantined entirely, put all together. The ability to worship once again. They couldn't come into the temple. The ability to re-enter life and live it as they had once known it. And yet just one of the 10 came back to say thank you to Jesus. Almost as if it was just expected that Jesus would heal them and give them this gift. And they were healed. They were set free, as so many of us have been, by God's grace. But the overwhelming majority failed to give God glory and gratitude. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you the one or the 9? Am I the one or the nine? Do you take God's grace and gift in the sacrifice of His Son for granted? Or do you thank Him? Give Him glory. Give Him gratitude. Man, we live in such an entitled culture today. It makes its way into the church. It makes its way into everything. Where even the most extravagant of gifts is often taken for granted. Our young families here today, manage Christmas well. And the gifts that are given to your children and the context through which they're given. You know, I can say in our family, we just love to shower our kids with all kinds of stuff. You know, it's just like, boom, baby. You know, it's Christmas time. And Christmas becomes just about a bunch of presents, an abundance of stuff. But man, we need to make sure that we are instilling in our children an appreciation for the gifts that they received, not an expectation that they're going to receive those gifts. Because that leads them to take that for granted, that it's your job to give them gifts. And ultimately, that leads to this understanding that it's God's job to give me gifts. And that's just not true. And so young families especially, well, if I could rewind and do it differently, I certainly would in the way that we approach that. But more to manage that environment and foster an appreciation for all the gifts that are received. Think of all the people in your life and how many stand out as being remarkably thankful. I mean, you think, boom, somebody just came to mind, okay? But not everybody comes to mind. Think of those people, how many lives of people you know that are marked by true humility and gratitude. That when you think of that person, the first thing you think of is, man, they are humble and grateful. How many praise and thank God more than they complain? How many are more focused on what they do have, the gifts that God has given them, than what they don't have? I don't know. Maybe 1 out of 10. I think Jesus may be on to something here. Imagine that. And my challenge to each of us this Thanksgiving, in the days that follow, is to be the one. Be the one. Be the one who returns daily, throwing yourself at Jesus' feet, thanking Him for the life that He's given you. And gratitude is the gateway to God's will. And gratitude is grounded in God's grace. And some of you here today need to receive that healing. You need to receive that forgiveness for the very first time. You need to hear Jesus say, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I want to challenge you today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, if you've never embraced His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sin, to surrender your life to Christ today. Receive that gift from the Father and rise and go in newness of life. Let's be thankful authentically, not just on one day this week, but on every day that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, help us not to take for granted the lives that You've given us. Not to take for granted, Father, even the material blessings that You have poured into so many of our lives. Father, help us to foster an environment of gratitude in our homes, in our workplaces, Father, to be humble, to be grateful, to be thankful people. because of all that You've done for us and all that You've given to us in Christ Jesus, Your Son. Lord, may this Thanksgiving, regardless of the circumstances, Father, there are some here today that the Thanksgiving's not shaping up so well that particular day. Lord, we've had years where, boy, it was just tough to be thankful on that day. And Lord, I pray that regardless, in all circumstances, Father, we would acknowledge Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, and we would be truly thankful for it. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. Once was lost, but now